Christ's name.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Kingdom Justice, and this is your host Courtney Jones speaking. And today, of course, we are back, and we're back today at 12 a.m. once again. I just think that's just the number for this. We're back at 12 a.m. And we at part three of adultery, the spirit of adultery. Now, this has been one of the hardest, interesting spirits that I had to encounter so far. And God have pulled me out every time in this. And this has been interesting knowing what this spirit is capable of. A lot of times I think people don't pay attention to it. We've been going, you know, back and forth the first two teachings talking about this spirit of adultery. And a lot of people overlook this. A lot of people think that's not me, that's not me. And a lot of folks we was talking yesterday about how people have these flirting eyes, you know, that they're supposed to be married to Jesus, but they have these flirting eyes with the world when they're looking over the fence. I remember I had this vision one time God showed me, and I remember seeing this vision one time, and I seen that it was like Jesus had his sheep pen, and the devil had his, and they both was like trying to corral to get these people to come in their sheep pen. These sheep, actually, it was sheep, but it was people, and they were trying to get them to come in. And it was people that was in went inside the devil pen. They was looking, trying to get back out, looking like what it looks like to go inside Jesus' pen. And it was people that was in Jesus' pen looking like, I want to go over there to the devil pen. So you have these people who have these flirting eyes. You see, and we see that a lot of times when you see people who grew up in the churches. When you see children that grows up in the churches, and I see this all the time when I meet a lot of people. You know, you never know sometimes who you're going to run into. But, you know, it's just the plan of God. You never know who you're going to run into. And you run into people sometimes, you're just thinking you're running into someone, and you just want to share our Lord Jesus with them. And you say, hey, you know, your relationship with Jesus. They say, oh, yeah, my dad's a pastor. And, you know, they are out there bad. You know, they're out there really bad, drugs, prostitution. Some of them just out there bad. And you're thinking, well, what happened? You see, and then you find out they just had this, they never got a chance to know God themselves. They was always forced into it. It was like arranged marriage, you know. That's how it was. It's like arranged marriage. And this is why a lot of times people can't, you know, force people into God. And so sometimes people want to get people born again so bad, they're trying to, like, try to force them into God. And like I said, when you have that, you have what you call arranged marriage. And when you have these arranged marriages, you're not letting Jesus actually get his connection with the person. What happens is that you'll get these people who, you know what, they have a connection with Jesus, or they're a minister of Jesus, or they have some form of Jesus. And so what they end up doing, of course, they'll start taking those tactics and they'll start using those things on the children. They'll start having the children can't do this, children can't hang around this. Now, the children, of course, never understand why this is happening. So they keep telling the children and this and that. Some of them may even tell the children the people around are evil, the school is evil, excuse me, and this and that. So a lot of time when it happens, you get what you call arranged marriage. The kids sometimes don't know who God is. They know who God is because you, like saying you, the pastor, the preacher, the reverend, whoever it is, they, in leadership, the kids have to be perfect. So that's what they believe. They know, I got to be perfect. We can't do this. People got to see us in church every week. We got to be in church in the day and the night. You know, this and that. We got to be over here. We got to be over there. We got to act like we're so perfect. And some of them, they get so fed up with this. It becomes disgusting and hatred to them. They become like restricted, feel like they're in prison. And it's like this prison marriage. And when that happens, the people sometimes never get a chance to have their own one-on-one connection with Jesus. So usually what happens, these people go out in the world and they do all kind of terrible things, get into stuff, and then all of a sudden they end up experiencing God. And when they end up experiencing God, they understand why their parents were doing such and such sometimes. And sometimes the people don't. They stay gone. But, you know, like I said, when you have this arranged marriages, and that's what a believer have to understand too, and a leader have to understand. When a person coming into God, you got to understand that God and that person need to have that connection. You can't force God on this person, and you can't just make the poor person just sit in them churches week in and week out, do nothing, and just do nothing, and it's all about you, yourself, and this person just there. It's like their connection with God is just nothing. And I know a lot of leaders say, well, they can't blame me for that because I actually preach that. Well, that's good, then. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the ones who don't preach it. I'm talking to the ones who sit there all the time and let people sit in their churches years after years, not no growth, no spiritual growth, no nothing. They have not increased. If anything, they just bench warmers and they pay 10%. And so this is like behavior that can't go on. You see, God is not just looking for just any kind of bride. He's looking for a bride without a spot or a wrinkle. He's looking for a bride that's going to want to do the same thing he does. You know, he seeks his father's will, and he's looking for a bride that wants to seek the will of his father as well. And so that's where we come in, because we should want to get the glory of God just like Jesus was zealous for it. We should also be zealous for the same thing. And we've seen so many prophets and apostles. They're always zealous because they wanted the kingdom of heaven to come on earth, just as well as I believe all of us really do. Some of us, you know, probably still iffy about it, don't know because they still got these flirting eyes, these adulterous ways. But you should want the kingdom of heaven to be manifested on earth. We should want to walk in this. The kingdom starts in us, and we have to bring it out and manifest it onto the earth. And so these are things that we have to understand, we have to do. And committing adultery, the spirit of adultery, is trying its best to keep you from going anywhere. You see, it's trying to keep you from your walk with God, trying to keep you from elevation from God. It's like, for instance, let's say you got staged from 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, 1, of course, being the beginning. And so you start off, you go to stage 2. Now, stage 2 is good. It's better than 1. But what people don't see is that the devil couldn't stop you from getting to stage 2 or 3. But he's trying to make sure you don't get to stage. He can't stop you from stage 2 because you got there. Now he's trying to stop you from getting to stage 3. See, and if you get to stage 3, he's trying to do everything he can to manipulate you, to do whatever he can, to attack you, do whatever he can to keep you from getting to stage 4. He's trying to stop your spiritual growth. You see, he don't want you to evolve. He's trying to stop your evolution. And see, I always talk about this word. Me and my cousin were just talking about this a little, you know, a while ago. Before the show, we was talking about this, some of these things, and we was talking about the people in adultery. And I was saying before, you know, people got to learn to stay away from these flirting eyes. You know, not trying to go too far over the fence. And we got to start looking at the insignificant things. The insignificant things are very, very important, because the things that we blow off like it's not that big of a deal, this is how these spirits take advantage of us, because they see that you're willing to take 2 steps forward towards them, towards adultery. So once they see that you're willing to buy into a little bit of adultery or something that will end up turning to that, that's what they're looking for and that's what they want. So, You know, then we got to be way better at what we're doing as believers. We got to take this serious. We got to take this serious if we want the kingdom of God to be manifested on earth here. It's going to be eventually. So we're not trying to make it happen in our generation. Then you're just waiting for some generation to come upon. But I believe that we can try. We can make a big push. We can definitely try, and we can get it done. We can really get it done here now. I believe that with the power of God, anything's possible. And I believe with people that's a bunch of people gathering together that's humble and with one goal in mind, and that's just to do the will of God and serve God and everyone on one accord, I believe we can do it now. I believe we can make this happen. I believe we can make this happen, and we can eradicate these evil spirits like this spirit of adultery and these sort of things. We can eradicate these things and put them under our feet. God going to put them under our feet and stomp on them and crush them. And I think we can do this. I mean, there's no doubt I believe we can do that. I know the world look bad out there. I mean, I see it myself. And, you know, more and more every day we hear all kinds of different stories. We witness different things. We see more things to try to take the drive out of you or take the fight out of you. But, you know, listen, we can do this. Trust and listen, ain't nothing that God can't do. You know, it's nothing God can't do. Jesus Christ was a conqueror, and so are you. You just gotta want it. You just gotta want it, and you just gotta love Jesus enough. You just gotta love your husband enough to say, "Listen, I'm gonna go down with them." You see, I'm gonna go down with them, and say, I'm going to pick up my cross with them. So you're going to have to just have that mentality. And like I said, a lot of times I see people all the time out here, they say, you know what, I love my family more than anything. I'm like, okay, where is Jesus in the spectrum? You see, you need to love him more. Where's the will of God in this? You need to love him more. See, we got to get away from these. I love this more than God. We got to get away from this. We got to eat, sleep, everything, Jesus. This is what our life got to be. And when you got born again, welcome to the kingdom. You see, we got to really be desiring. We gotta have our desire. And see, desire is a very important thing, because desire is what caused people committing adultery. Now, they're doing these things based on their desires and what's pulling them, or what's intriguing their desires, or tickling their ears, or whatever it is. Now, you notice how important desire is. I want you to understand how focused this is. Now, if we go to Genesis chapter 4. Now, in Genesis chapter 4, it's talking about Cain. And God told Cain, God actually warned Cain, that told him that, you know, that sin lies at the door. And his desire is for you. His desire is to rule over you. Notice that sin itself. Now, we know, what is sin? It's death. We know all that goes back to sin, death, Satan, and adultery. All this is Satan. All this goes back to the same thing, back to the serpent. It's still the same. Notice he said that the desire of sin, you see, what sin desire, what it thinks about night and day, what its life mission is to rule over man, to rule over you. This is the determination that this spirit has. This spirit don't eat. They don't need to eat food. They don't need to sleep. It can't rest anyway, so it's trying to make sure you don't get any, or rest in peace of anything. But notice how this spirit desires is to rule over you or destroy you. So it's very, very passionate, passionate at what it's trying to do. It's got a team of other spirits just like them, and they all set to rule over or destroy. And so they just dedicated, and they're just dedicated, and maybe even calculated, we would say calculated, that they're willing to do this. Then us believers have to be even more so wiser, even much so bolder, and even much so committed. We have to be. We have to be. See, we got to start taking off. We got to take off all this this us. And we got to take off this us. We got to take off my way. We got to take off my wife way. We got to take off my children way, my job way. We got to take off have it your way. And we got to do it God way. And we got to submit ourselves to the Holy Ghost. This is what we're going to have to do. We live in a time where we need to start conquering. We need to take over. We need to start conquering. No more of these false prophets. We need to start pulling them out, getting them exposed, and getting them moving on. You see, getting them out, getting them exposed, moving them on. You know, no more of this preaching about, let's just preach a good sermon here for this week. It's time for us to get in the military of God here. It's time for us to get in the military of God here. It's time for us to sign up. I ain't talking about because you're just born again. You're already born again, a lot of you. I'm talking about sign up for the military. It's time for you to say, listen here, this is spiritual warfare out here. I strapped on my armor. They're going to come after me and attack me anyway. So I can be a fool that's blind, going off a cliff. I could be a foolish person going head first to a wall, or I can fight. I could be submissive unto God and follow him, and I can endure. I can suffer. I can endure. If I have to, I will fight. A lot of us got to start seeing what's really going on in front of our eyes. You know, we living in a world with, like I said, with with some of the cruelest things that Satan has going on in this place. Some of these people sent up there that they're in the churches right now. They're misusing the people. They're taking advantage of the bride. They got people in the church who got cliques set up in the church, taking advantage of the, you know, trying to take advantage of the leader and seduce him and pull him down. The devil himself, here he sat in front of God. He sat right in front of God. He sat in front of God with all the love and everything God given unto him, with such wickedness, with appreciation factor of what he did, what he's still doing, to destroy God's creation, to destroy God's children, to turn them into something abominable. See, we can't allow these spirits to keep doing what they're doing. They're already taking the kids. I look at the neighborhoods now. The kids are already running around. 12, 13 years old got guns, shooting around, shooting at each other, shooting outside these places, going to juvenile, killing somebody. They got a lot of other kids in witchcraft. You know, I don't know how many people I run into that's witches that I done ran into. Witches. Look like normal little girls, but witches. Already fooling with witchcraft and magic and all these things, worshiping up these different variety of gods. Juveniles full of kids. No parents. Parents in jail too. These spirits have been conquering too much land, and the church has been sitting still for too long and letting this stuff go on. And we're going to have to fight. See, at the end of the day, we're going to have to fight. You see, Jesus won the war. Let's just see, he already then won the war. It's like saying, hey, listen, like God did with Trinity's world, I already won it, but go take it. See, go, it's already there. Follow after me and let's go get it. But we got to have the desire to want to have God rule. A desire for Jesus, King on earth, and manifest living here. That's desire we got to want to have. We got to want to have this kind of desire in our hearts. Not this adulterous spirit that can be that's in us, that's enticing us and want to entice us into doing things we know we shouldn't do, or want to threaten us, or want to put pressure on us, or want to put fear on us, or want to talk down on us. Our desires has to be Christ's desires. We're going to have to get to this place. I mean, we can sit here and I can go through scripture after scripture. We can see some revelation, and that's all good. I know a lot of people like that, like to learn, and as you know, like to learn, and the Holy Spirit love to teach. But in the same token, at the end of the day, we're going to have to pick up our cross. We're going to have to follow. And we're going to have to trust that God's going to get us out of any and every situation. You're going to start saying, if you're going to be called by this name, if you're going to be called by this name, you're going to have to understand, you're going to have to walk in it. You're going to have to be it. You're going to have to live it. But you're going to have to want to be that bride that Jesus is coming back for. You got to want, you got to seek it, you got to desire this. You got to want this. Your heart's got to be willing and ready, and you got to want it. I mean, we can sit back and say, oh, you know, this, you know. I went to this kind of denomination. I went to that kind of. Listen, you gotta want it. I don't care what denomination you went to, here, there, where. You receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior. You receive the Holy Ghost. That's all. You gotta want it. You gotta want it. No more excuses for you flirting with the world. No more excuses with you being under par. No more excuses why you are not where you need to be in your spiritual growth. There's no more of that. No more excuse for it. I ain't got the time. No more excuse for it. God will get you the time. No more excuse for this. It never was room for these excuses. Jesus won't take them. I won't take them. No one's going to take them. No one who follow God going to take these excuses. Excuses is lies. People say, well, I can't read. Well, listen. They got everything you can play. Listen. People say, well, I can't do this. Trust that God wants this more than you. See, trust that God wants this more than you. Trust that God wants you one with him more than you do. So if it's anything that's going to cause that oneness, that problem, he's going to be all for pulling that out your way. He's going to be all about pulling that away. But you got to want it. You got to want it. You got to be willing to fight. You got to be a person who's saying, I want this. And I'm not going to stop till I get it. That's my desire. Night in, night out. Day in, day out. Week after week. Year, and this is what I desire. And I'm going to have the commitment. We got to get away from these adulterous spirits. These other things that's luring us in to keeping us from doing the work of God, keeping us from seeing the vision of what God wants, keep making excuses and lies. We got to get away from it. We got to get away from that. We got to want to do better. Excuse me. I feel like there's something in my throat here. It's okay. We'll clear it up eventually. Now, it's Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. I'm going to go to some of these scriptures and get you to see this. It says, he who commit adultery lacks sense. Lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. Now, notice a person who commits an adultery, he lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. There's a lot of people out there. You're playing the prostitute. You're playing the adulteress. Notice Jesus said, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. He said, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman, notice he said not women, but a woman. He said, but I say to you, that anyone who looks at a woman with lustful intentions or lustful eyes has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Notice that lustful eyes, them flirting eyes. Notice he said with a woman. Now, I believe that woman, and we were talking about yesterday, that adulterous woman. We were talking about this in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 7, we're talking about this adulterous woman. She leads you to the grave. Also, you can look at the soul too. But people don't want to just operate in the soulless realm and not in the spirit. But you have these people, like I said, they don't want to operate at that level. They forget that we are in the Spirit of God now. We are in the Spirit of God now, and we should operate in it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. He said, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexual immoral, and adultery. Now notice he said that, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexual immoral and adulterous. Then it says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. You should not commit adultery. You should not commit adultery. Now, he said, let the marriage bed be undefiled. So if you and Jesus are one in intimacy, you're one. Then what happened if you're allowing all these other things to come in? Greed, lust, pride, selfishness, deception. What happens when you allow these things to come in? Remember, we were talking about this yesterday. Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, it said, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marry another, commit adultery. Now, notice it had to be sexual immorality committing adultery. Now, we know committing adultery. Now, you see how committing adultery can get you divorced even from God. It can get a person divorced and get a person called and cut in half. Mean gone. God took enough of the Trinity where he said, listen, they're not getting in my rest. Boom. Shut the door. Shut the door on them. Boom. It's over. They wouldn't get in. Now they all just dying off, running around the wilderness. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22. It says, if a man is found lying with the wife of another man, both of them shall be what? Put to death. Or some translation may say shall die. Notice how if you, a person who's taking the bride of Jesus, you're taking it for yourself, you're milking her for everything you can get because she had some little lustful eyes and the church was coming on strong. They wanted to hear this kind of a doctrine. They wanted to go in this kind of a phase. And you gave it what the church wanted, what she wanted. You both shall die. You see, that's what people don't understand. You both of your callings will be gone. You just throw it in trash. See, people think because they worry about, I'm not going to hell. That's what they're looking at. But your spiritual calling, your purpose, everything you was called for, being one with God, you're going to risk that, and you're willing to destroy that just to keep doing these sort of things. It also says, the man who lie with the woman and the woman, so you shall purge the evil from Israel. So we can't be, see, you're supposed to purge yourself of this kind of behavior, woman and the woman. We got to purge ourselves of this. We got to purge ourselves of this soulish way of being and thinking. Yes, we have souls. Yes, it's for a purpose. But we're not supposed to be governed on them. It's supposed to be operated in spirit. That's one with God. Operating from that, then the flesh come last. Now, we got to be careful because we understand that this spirit has smooth talking ability. It try to calm people into it. And when the people don't, we know what it does then. It'll use forced termination and it want someone dead. It wants you crucified if you're not going to follow. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 24. It say, to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Notice he said the smooth tongue. See, it's gonna come at you with a, at this point with a unsmooth tongue. So notice it got the gift of gab. It can sell itself. A smooth tongue, charming, Casanova type. Let's say of adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart. Now notice he said this. Do not desire her beauty in your heart. Now notice he said do not even desire this her beauty in your heart. Don't even take this to your heart. Because why? Jesus just told you. Jesus said if you look at a woman in lustful intentions, you already commit adultery in your heart. Now notice this is where what Jesus is talking about, this same scripture here in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 24. It says, do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. Now, we know Jezebel is all about Jezebel as well when we're talking about this, because Jezebel also a Sidonian. That's what she do. She likes to hunt down cedar trees. And cedar trees are sons of God. Notice he said that, can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? There's a point where we have to understand that this is not the kind of behavior God wanted us to be operating in. God wanted us to be in oneness with Him. This is what He wanted for us to manifest His kingdom, the judgments of God to go forth all through this place. Now, we know the story of here. We go to David. We go to 2 Samuel. We go to 2 Samuel chapter. We go to 2 Samuel. I'm sorry. I ended up going to 1 Samuel. I'm going to go to 2. I'll go to 2 Samuel. Chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, it talks about David. So what David ended up doing, it was the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle. David sent Joab with his officers of Israel with him. Now, notice, this is the time where kings go. I mean, he's the king. He's supposed to go. But David did not go. And it talks about how David ended up, he ended up seeing a woman bathing, and this woman is married. Doesn't matter how the woman looked, no matter if she was gorgeous, but David already committed adultery in the woman's eyes. It shows you how, because we go to verse 2, it said, it happened later one afternoon when David rose from his couch and he was walking about on the roof of the king's house that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. Notice he said the woman was very beautiful. Okay, there you go. David sent someone to inquire about the woman. It was reported. This is Bathsheba. Now they know that she's Bathsheba. They know she's married, and she was out there actually cleaning herself to purify herself. Well, of course, David could not just—he could not leave it alone, even though he knew the truth. So he already committed adultery with her, and he got—you know—he already did that in his heart. So now he got to fulfill this, even though he knows she's married. See, I already been doing that. Now I need to go further. Now, what is David doing now in this situation? He's not stopping to think that I am now messing with another man's wife. I am now being an adulterer. I already have five, six wives myself already, but I'm being an adulteress. And by me being an adulteress, you know what? It costs this man his life, Uriah. It costs Uriah his life. It costs the child that they had his life. It's cost a lot of life. Not just that sin killed David's whole family. God told him that sword was never going to leave, and that sword didn't leave. All his sons was fighting each other, killing each other. They all were just killing each other. And the ones that didn't kill, they raped the other one, and then they all, you know, they were just, Solomon ended up being a disgrace himself. I mean, all this from was stemming from this sin. Because David wanted to commit adultery. God told him, if you wanted more, I would have gave you more. If you wanted another wife, I would have gave you another one. Why would you do such a thing? Because, you know why? I can. Because I got power at this point. I am king, and I have power, and that's why I did. I lusted after something. I wanted it, and I started committing adultery. And through this adultery, now you got multiple murders. His whole family paying the price for it. What was going on? And that's the, and see, that's why Job said, if I ever looked at a woman in the wrong way, you know, I can lose everything I own. He said adultery was one of the wickedest crimes, Job said. He said, I can lose everything I own because of it. Well, listen to David. Everything he held dear, he lost over the lust of the eyes, over these things. And that's how serious that this can be. That's how serious this can be when we walk around thinking that it's okay and we doing things that are insignificant, we believe. Insignificant. Excuse me. Insignificant things we believe. Oh, this is insignificant. It's nothing serious. Now watch this here. Let's go to Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 17. It say then the one of it say the then the one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great whore who is seated on many waters, with whom the king of the earth have committed fornication, and with the wine of whose fornication the inhabitants. Now, he said they committed fornication with the wine. Now, notice how wine a lot of times can mean the influence. See, wine means influence. When a person gets drunk or start drinking, what happened? The influence. Remember, we just got through, Solomon got through talking about the smooth talking in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 24. He said, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Now, here we go, saying that the same thing, the wine of her fornication, the wine of fornication. Notice the wine of the fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have become drunk. That means under the influence. They fell victim to Babylonia, who also is this adulterous spirit. And they have committed their stuff. They have fornicated with this. They had did this. It says, so he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. Notice a wilderness because it's a desert. It's a dry place. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemy words. Or you say names. I'm sorry, names, not words. And it had seven heads. Now notice this. It has seven heads. And we know the seven heads that it has. Amorite, Jebusite, Hivite, Hittite, Perizzite, Girgashite, and Canaanite. So that's the seven heads. It also talks about it had seven heads. So we know what the seven heads is. And it said, and had ten horns. Ten horns. Now, what people don't understand in Genesis chapter 10, what we have to see, Genesis chapter 10 talks about the genealogy of Canaan. Canaan had actually 11. So really, he had 11 sons, which he have the Zemarite. You have the Zemarite, the Hamanite, the Arkite. You got the Zemarite, the Hamanite, the Arkite, and I'm missing one. You got the Sidonian, yes. You got the Sidonian. And you got the Arvadite. I think it's the Arvadite. So it had 11, but Sidonia, which is Babylonia, which is Jezebel, all of them tie in. The same, notice how she sits on top of all them, because the firstborn of Canaan is Sidonia. Jezebel is, guess what? The queen of the Sidonians, the princess, the queen of the Sidonians. Her dad, actually the king, she's the princess of the Sidonians. So he see this Babylonia sitting on top of the beast. Now notice that she got, it says that the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and impurities of her fornication. I mean, she even keep account. She even one of them people that you say keep trophies. And on her forehead was written a name, a mystery, Babylon, the great mother of whores. Notice that she's the great mother of whores and of the earth abomination. And I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the witnesses to Jesus. Now, notice how when the angel is going to break this down, he's going to tell you the 10 horns. He talk about how these are kingdoms and this, this, and that. Well, notice that each one of them, that's what they establish, a kingdom. That's why God say the nations. Does, you know, he can tell about those seven nations. But when you look at them, they all have their own nation. The Hamanite had his own nation. They hang around with the Sidonians, and they hang around the Philistines. They hang around all of them on Mount Hermon. So it hung around them. And you, so they all have their own little land that they're hanging around, their own nation. Full of filthiness that they had around themselves. Now here's Babylonia, which have no problem drinking on the blood of the saints like Jezebel, no problem drinking on the blood of the prophets. The witnesses, they have no problem. No problem at all. You know, Jezebel was a big believer in Baal. She wanted everybody to serve Baal. So she wanted to try to get the people to commit adultery on God. To leave for Baal, because Baal was the god he was the god over the crops, over fertility of the crops. I think Ashtaroth was over fertility. See, notice this being fruitful. And so in that situation, that's about money. It's all about money. You see, it's all about money at them times. It's all about money and prosperity. That's what Baal is about, money and prosperity. You see, that's what it's all about, money. That's what he's about. And so this is the things that are being preached. See, in sweet words, in a nice way, in that smooth talking tongue, to lure in that believer who that's what's in his heart. He already looked upon his eyes at that kind of doctrine. He already seen that doctrine. He fantasized they had a doctrine just like this. He already committed adultery with it before he got to it. So when he hear it, he go right to it. And this is why we got to get out of these things that we're doing. Some of us out there, and some of us know people who's doing this, we need to get ourselves in prayer, and we need to get ourselves in them people business. We need to put judgment in their lives to get this stuff taken apart, ripped out for them, so therefore they can be saved. You know, they can be saved and everything. You know, you want to bring them into correction. A lot of people are scared of strife a lot of the time. A lot of times people are scared to bump heads with somebody because they think that we're taught not to. And that's not true. We're taught to have good strife. And good strife means you're going to disagree because the fact of the matter of this, that person is walking in darkness. When you turn a light switch on, they don't like it. They don't like the truth. So therefore, you're going to strife because anytime you have the truth, it's going to happen that way because the spirit wars against the flesh. So if a person operating the flesh, you're saying spiritual things, you're going to have a problem. A person operating the soul, you're going to say spiritual things, you're going to have a problem. So these are things that you're going to have strife with, but it's a good strife, a strife to get to spiritual investigating. It's a strife to get us together to say, okay, let's find out what's the truth. It's not a strife for us to step on each other's heads. It's not a strife for me to rule over you. I want to rule and lord it over you. It's not that kind of strife. It's a good strife, kind of strife people are going to need. People not afraid to challenge. We've seen Paul. Paul was not afraid to challenge Peter, even though Peter had a bigger name. He walked with Jesus. He had a bigger name at this point. He wasn't afraid to say, Peter, listen, I'm not going to go walk down there. That's hypocrisy. That's adultery. I'm not going to be a part of going in a different direction. I'm not going to be a part in going back to old things. We are become new now. We are the bride of Christ now. We in another level now. We got a new husband now. Why you want to take us back to bondage? Why you want to do this? I'm not finna commit adultery with you or none of you. All you gone, and, you know, all the other ones that was into that, I'm not got nothing to do with that. I'm not committing adultery, and I'm going to sit here and show you where it's wrong. Now, here's this, this, and that. See, he's willing to stand up. And even when Paul preached things to people where he preached grace a certain format, a certain way, where people all took it like, oh, okay. And James had to come back and say, hold on, what do you mean faith with no works? See, James had to come back, and he had to challenge Paul. What do you mean faith with no works? Faith with no works is dead. That don't make any sense, and it don't make any sense. So he had to come back, James had to come back, and he straightened it out. He said, I show you my, see my faith with my works working together. You see, because they're going to have to work together to make it happen. You can't just have faith with no works. It ain't going to work. So people took that, because the way Paul preached it, people took it the wrong manner. And James had to come back, and he had to check that doctrine. And then Paul come back and start saying, oh, yeah, you know, that's right. And this is this and that and this is and that. See, well, see, notice that these things happen. These things happen. Everybody's been in these challenges in their life, no matter if you're Paul, no matter if you're Peter, James, John. They all been in these challenges. So, you know, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something that everybody's going through or been through. It's just it's time to acknowledge that you've been through it, and it's time to say, okay, I need to get out if you that person. If you're not that person, like I always say, we just speaking edification. That's all. We just confirming this to you. You just seeing that, oh, I'm getting confirmation of what he's preaching. This is what God been dealing with me. So that's fine. They're just showing you that, hey, you're on the right track of that. But for the ones who don't know, and that's them, and it's adulterous spirit, that's them. They need to listen. They need to know. Now, let's go to this here real quick. Now, let's go to this scripture. Let's go to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, verse 17. Now, say, when we arrive in Jerusalem, the brothers welcome us warmly. The next day, Paul went with us to visit James, and all the elders were present. After greeting them, he related one by one the things that God has done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard it, they praised God. Now notice, they're praising God because they're thinking that Paul's ministry is something different. Then it says this, then they said to him, you see, brother, how many thousands of believers there are among the Jews, and they are all zealous for the law, or the law also means teaching. It said, they have been told about you, that you teach all the Jews living among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, and that you tell them not to circumcise their children or observe the customs. Now, you notice that Paul preached against this. Now, Paul got a choice to make here, because here's Paul standing with Jesus. He said, I'm willing to die for you. I'm that guy. He said, I'm that guy. I'm willing to die for the faith. And so now he's in the position of this. And he's in the position of this. He can make this choice or not. Then it says, then it goes on and says, what then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. So do what we tell you. We have four men who are under a vow. Join these men, go through the rite of purification with them and pay for the shaving of their heads. Though all we know that there is nothing in what they have been told about you, but that you yourself observe and guard the law. Now, guard me also means protect and keep, to keep and protect. It also means guard can mean, you know, to keep. I mean, keep means to guard and protect. Now, notice, here's a man telling Paul, we heard you've been preaching something different. So you've been preaching about that Jesus fellow, because that's what grace is, what he's preaching about. Also, you telling people it's no sense of getting physical circumcised. Well, the circumcised God talking about was with Jeremiah 4:4. Jeremiah chapter 4:4, circumcise your spirit. You see, you know, from your circumcise your flesh from your heart. You see, meaning that you need, it's a spiritual thing. You need to take the flesh off. you see, and walk in the Spirit of God. I mean, get rid of the pride of life. Get rid of all these things. Submit yourself. That's the kind of 10%. That's what God was looking for in the circumcision of the heart. But they was looking for a physical circumcision. Also, God wasn't worried about those customs and some of the things that they was following because they've been doing it the wrong way. They changed his days. They did all this to talk about in Isaiah chapter 1, how they changed his new moon day, Sabbath day. They didn't change all that and twisted that to whatever they wanted to. So God didn't want anything to do with that because it's no longer his day. It's their day. They created it. It's theirs. And so it's not his, it's theirs. And so let's go forth. And as it says, now Paul had a choice to make. Paul said he was willing to die for the faith at this point in time. I personally believe he thought he was ready for it at this time. I believe he thought that's what God wanted him to do. But really, God wanted him to obey him. And the Holy Spirit told Paul, don't go there in the first place. But Paul wouldn't listen. Even when the Holy Spirit gave him demonstration through other people, he just didn't listen. And so now he finds himself in a situation where he was so, sight up to want to prove that he would go out for the faith. He had this issue. And you know what he did? He did exactly what the people asked him to do. And say, and they have been told about you, but that you yourself observe and guard the law. But as for the Gentiles who have become believers, we have sent a letter with our judgment that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, from what is strangled, and from fornication. Then Paul took the man, and the next day, having purified himself, he entered into the temple with them, making public. Now notice that Paul is just letting this stuff go on, and going through the purification, letting this go on. 6 days pass. It's on the seventh day, and all of a sudden he gets exposed. People say, you are that guy. It had some Jews that came from Asia. They exposed him. That he is that guy that preaches that. But notice how he didn't stand like he wanted to. And why can he stand against this situation? Because he already was doing the wrong thing. God already told him not to go. He went anyway. But for some reason, he finds himself, he can't stand. You see, he ended up doing what they want him to do, and he got exposed. Now, you notice when he got exposed and they started to seize him, he started to tell the truth. Listen, let me tell you about Jesus. Then he started trying to tell the truth. He's trying to stand now. And those people weren't trying to hear that. They wanted to try to kill him over this. Because this is the kind of believers that they were in the law, where they wanted to kill him, without even hearing him out. They wanted him dead. He was trying to get them to hear him out. They wanted to beat him half to death. And this is the kind of people that he was dealing with. He was dealing with at this time. And so we see that it ain't just Peter had an issue. Paul also had an issue in this situation that went off course. And put himself in a really terrible, bad situation where he was willing to die. I mean, he was willing to be that bride for Jesus that was saying, I'm going to do this, and he wasn't able to do it because he disrespected God. He disrespected other men of God when they tried to tell him that what God was saying to them, full of the Holy Spirit, he would not listen. He would not listen. And there's a lot of people, I'm just saying, out there like that right now, where you see other people in your church full of the Holy Spirit trying to get you back on track, trying to tell you what God is saying to the churches, and you just refuse to listen because your arrogance of, listen, I'm ready. I know what I'm doing. I got what it takes. I know what God wants. This and that. Just the arrogance of your way, and that kind of mentality will put you in a bad situation that you really don't want to be in. You'll be putting yourself in a situation where you're finding yourself slipping off into adultery. And then you find yourself like Paul, who's went there to pretty much went there to, he was looking for to help the faith, and he ended up being that wife who's saying, I don't want no part of this persecution here right now, and so I'll go along with it. And sometimes believers have that issue. They're afraid of getting ridiculed. They're afraid of what can happen, or afraid of losing their jobs, afraid of losing their husband or children or something. Some people are afraid of just loss for Jesus. I'm gonna lose. Some people they're afraid of loss. This is why it says, you know, you can't be in pride. Pride is never good for you. For you to walk with God, pride got to go, and God gonna make sure it goes. He's gonna work those things out of you. You know, you're gonna make sure that pride got to go. You gotta understand that God is His glory. At the end of the day, we at one sharing glory, and He's gonna give us the glory. In that, He's gonna give us glory. He's gonna glorify us. But people got to get out of the situation of trying to get their own glory through Him. Where they doing this? Well, I'm using His name to go. I have my own agenda. So I preach on my own accord to get my own glory, to get my own money, to get my own whatever it is. And I'm using His name for this fact. You know, this fact. I have no intention on God manifesting God's kingdom on earth. I have no intentions on doing His will. I have no intentions on sacrificing anything. But what I want to do is get personal gain. I want to come in and have personal gain, have my own traditions, my own things. And I don't care about His traditions. I don't care about what He wants. I just care about me. And that kind of selfishness is not going to get you very far. Not at all. It's not going to get you far at all. Now, we went through so many different stories in here. We went through so many different stories. We was talking about Judges chapter 19 through 22. We were talking about Judges where we were talking about this story in Judges. It was a story in Judges where it's a man who have a concubine. He has a concubine, and she was his wife, whatever he was, you say, a concubine married. And she was unfaithful to him. She was unfaithful to him. You know what unfaithful means? She was adulterous. When she did this, she took off and ran, because she took off and ran and went back to her daddy's house. So he decided to go after her to get her, to bring her back, go back there, sweet talk her, bring her back. Well, they find themselves in a situation where he's there and he's trying to leave, but her daddy keep on trying to coaching him into trying to keep drawing him in to stay. Oh, stay another night, eat, drink, stay another night, eat, drink. So eventually he stayed a couple of nights, and then he wanted to leave. He's like, no, I'm leaving. And on that day he left was not the best day in the world, at least not for the man's daughter who kept trying to hold him. They go out to a town. The town is sick and perverted. This town is the next town from Sodom. Since Sodom was destroyed, this is a town that just is sick. It's a town that was just as sick. They was in this town. There was a man in this town that seen him out there. No one wanted to take him in. So it was a man that seen him sitting out there. He say, listen, don't sit out here. Do not be standing out here after dark. When it hit nighttime, you do not want to be here. If you know what's good for you, you do not want to be here. We know towns and places like that right now in our cities and our states and in America. We know it's places like that. Hey, when it hit nighttime, get off the streets. So he took them in. He gave them. He took them in. Everything else, and all of a sudden, here come these bandit of man, these men of bandits, you know, plunderers, thieves, thugs, whatever you want to call them. They're pirates. These are some sick pirates, though. These are pirates that's into sexual immorality. Come, these guys who are homosexuality, bisexuality, they you name it, they're into it. These guys was coming for the man. So they come and they want the man, but they wanted the guy that had the concubine. They wanted him. But the old man told him, that took him in, said, no, you can't have him. Hey, don't do this wicked thing. He said, I have a virgin. My daughter's a virgin. You can take her. He said, we also have this man concubine. Now, they didn't take the man daughter that's a virgin. So they didn't want to take nothing that was pure, something that was true, something that's never been touch something never that been defiled. They didn't want that. See, they wanted their bed to be defiled. They wanted someone to be in whoredom. They didn't take her. because her bed have not been defiled, because she been pure, and these things here, the man's daughter. But they took the concubine. Oh, the concubine went. They took her. They raped her and ravished her all night long. See, they had no problem taking an adulterous woman. They had no problem taking an adulteress. But they didn't want to take the good woman that was not defiled, that has not committed adultery, have not slept around, have not did all this prostitution or whoredom. But they wanted to take the one who did whoredom. They wanted to take the one that was untrue to her husband, the one that was into harlotry and whoredom. They wanted to take her and have their way with her. She was acceptable to them. And that's how it is sometimes with the church. They want to accept in this adulterous spirit, this whoredom. They ain't thinking too much about it. But when somebody come with the pure word of God, with true word of God, and judgment of God, they don't like it. They say, we don't want that virgin. We don't want that undefiled doctrine. We don't want that. We don't want none of that. We don't want it. Take it. We don't want it. We don't need it. But when somebody come with a doctrine that's full of adultery, a doctrine that goes against God, a doctrine, things that swaying in the people away from God into foolishness, see, they want to go live with this adulteress. And we got to get away from that kind of stuff. We can't let this go on in the churches anymore. These are things that we can't allow to go on. They will go on, but we can't allow it. We got to speak judgment of God through these things. We got to make sure these stronghold places like this are being torn down from the root up, pulled up. But we got to want it. We got to want to do this. This is something that we're going to have to want. Something that we're going to have to desire. Something that we're going to have to want, and something that we're going to have to desire. Now, what ended up happening to the man, in case you know the rest of the story, they raped the woman until almost, they raped her and beat her real bad. So the next day, the man was leaving out, and he seen her on the road, and she barely made it to the door. She barely made it to him. The next day, he see the woman coming out, she barely made it, and the woman ended up dying. Now, it was no king in Israel. I mean, they didn't have no leader, which a lot of these churches have, trying to keep Jesus from being leader. They don't want him around. A lot of them refusing the Holy Spirit. They don't want no leadership. They want to be leadership. And they pushed out the true leadership because they want to be leadership. So what ended up happening, when she died, the man was so out, you know, enraged. He was mad about the situation. And so he went, chopped her body into 12 pieces, just like we on here at 12 o'clock we start. Chopped her body into 12 pieces and sung one part of each part of the body, separated the body, and sung each part of the body to a different tribe. Now, here we have a different tribe. Tribes can mean divisions. It means divisions of people. It means a person that's Pentecostal, Presbyterian, a different tribe. It can mean, hey, we're all in a Christ, you in Judah. But in this situation, we're just saying, they split all the bodies to pieces. And they send them to each tribe. So what if you wanted to debate about, well, the situation of, is that me? I'm a Pentecostal, then that means, you know, Presbyterian. Well, that's a tribe. That's what the tribe was. Notice they all was children of God. They just was broke down in different division of tribes. Well, sometimes we have people in the sense of these things. And so a crime happened so terrible that it took them all to come together from different churches, different tribes. When they heard about this, they was outraged. So they all got together as one. It said they all got together as one man. Notice they all got together in the body. You know, I always said this. I said, when you look at the body of Christ, don't look at the body itself. Look at the face of Christ. See, the face of Jesus is where you need to be. You need to look at the face of him. You need to see his face. And to see his face, you need to seek for his face so he can show you his face. Because his face is beautiful. He got the most beautiful face you can ever imagine. So you're looking at a beautiful face here. You see, when you're looking at the body's all. And I'm gonna say this here. And I don't want to take this offensively, because there are some women that actually have a lot of weight on them that can be attractive. Well, I'm just saying that you look at it from a standpoint of, say, for instance, a woman who have a lot of weight on herself, or a woman that's really, really like skinny with nothing on her, just bones. You can look at that sort of a body, and it can turn certain individuals off. It can turn them away. But if you look at their face is beautiful. Like, wow, look how pretty she is. The most prettiest face you can see. So long as you focus on that face, you're going to follow that face, and you're going to look at that face. You're going to forget about that body. You're going to be trying to get to that face. You see, that's what the crowd was doing against the woman with the issue of blood. They was all pressing in on Jesus. See, they all was there, but no one was activating the power of Jesus. They weren't there seeking the face. They was there for their own accord. But this woman here was willing to go to the face. See, I know I can make it. And I don't care I'm getting stumped. I don't care what the trial is, the tribulation. I know I can make it if I can just touch, you see. And she's just saying this to herself, oh, I can just touch this garment. And she did. And she activated the power, even though it was a bunch of people pressing in. Pressing in also means to choke. That means to choke off. So they was actually choking off people who was coming in from Jesus because they was pressing in on them. And that's going on now. People pressing in so deep and so hard on them that they're choking out the purpose of Jesus. They're choking out the will of God. They're choking out their purpose, their spiritual calling. They're choking it out. And so when you look at the body, you see, if you look at the body, because it's so all over the place, there's so many people here, not enough Indians, you know, I say not too many chiefs. It's too much this here, it's too much bickering, it's too much this, it's too much all kind of things. Too much people that's in ignorance, too much people who want to rule, it's too much stuff in the body. So when people look at the body of Christ in the whole, they reject it. They say, listen, that's not my type. Because I know what the kind of type they are, and they're really not appealing to me. But if you look at Jesus himself, and know the truth and look at him himself, and you're seeking after his face, don't worry about some of the people that's not following the right ways. That's what's wrong with people. They're always looking at safeties and numbers. So they look at, oh, there's a bunch of people doing this. So when they look at a bunch of numbers of people doing this, it must be right. See, well, there's a million people doing it, it's got to be right. You see, and notice that when anyone knows the history of the Word of God, it was always this way. It was always, there's millions of people who don't want to listen, don't care. It's a priesthood that don't want to listen, don't care. God sending a prophet one by one all the time for 1,000 years, sending prophets, apostles, disciples, sending them, and people don't want to listen. The majority did not want to listen. They didn't want to listen, and then they end up killing them or putting them in prison because they wouldn't commit adultery with them. They wouldn't lay down with them and tell them what they wanted to hear. So we see how this went on all this time. So it's not about numbers. When a person starts getting into, well, you know, I mean, it can't be all these people wrong. That's a person who is actually a sheep, where he's actually looking for, if I can run and see, he's looking like, you know, when you look at sheep, it's also, sheep is a prey animal. So we look at a prey animal like a sheep or a gazelle or a deer or an antelope. We look at these prey animals. They travel in numbers, so therefore, their chances of survival is more. You know, it's going to happen. It's like the lottery. It's like, well, if I'm by myself, I may have a chance, but not really. My odds are not great. But if I want to increase my odds, I run around with like 30, 40 more, so maybe someone will catch them every day, and they won't catch me. That's what a person like that is doing, saying, well, hey, you know what? Well, it's safety in numbers. So therefore, since there's 30 of them, say it is right, then that's what I'm going to do. Not to find out how true it is from God, but I'm going to do it this way. And that's the difference between, a person with a prey mentality. A person with a prey mentality. So all a predator has to do is to do what? To get them to use that smooth tongue, you see, use that smooth tongue and start to preach that those smooth words of adultery, and start to seduce these people. and then take the majority with what they want to hear, and then let those people that come in that are prey animals see that, oh, it's so many, so it must be true. And this is what the Bible history shows, prophet after prophet after prophet, and he's going up talking about people. Look at Moses sitting up here with millions of people in the church of Israel, and they won't listen to anything he was saying. And you would say, well, maybe they got to be right because it's just one Moses, and it's like a million, 3 million of them. You'll say, man, it was one Zechariah, and it was a bunch of the king and a bunch of other guys that killed them, let them get killed. See, you got to start asking yourself, why is this happening? Why? Because they have this prey animal mentality, and their whole thing is safety in numbers. But I'm telling you, the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of power. You see, it's a kingdom of power. You don't need a bunch of numbers. That's why God told Gideon, you got 20,000, that's too much for me. 10,000, too much for me. 300, just enough for me. And that 3 represent the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what that represent anyway. That's what that represent as well. They also represent that. They also represent spirit, soul, and body. If you operate in the flesh and the soul and flesh, God don't want nothing to do with you. When you operate in the spirit, when the spirit is on top, that's the order. That's the order. You see? And so notice how God was fine with just the 300, because you know why? It's a kingdom of power. Notice how God was fine with Samson trying to take out a whole country of Philistines. He was fine with that because Samson had the 7 locks in his hair, which the 7 locks that he had was the 7 spirits of God. And so notice how he was so powerful, and it was just one him. You know, he got 3,000 men. He got 4,000 men and different. Israel had a bunch of men, but nobody was helping them. They wouldn't help them. They didn't want to help them. They just wanted to go back and commit adultery. They wanted to keep on going back, living the way they wanted to live. They wanted to stay in slavery. But Samson didn't have that same mentality. He didn't take that same mentality about that as they took. And notice God did some tremendous things with him because the fact of the matter, with power. He used Samson and gave him some power that was magnificent. And you know what? He was able to subdue the Philistines. He was able to put them under his feet, the ones he didn't kill. And you notice it took a spiritual tide, and he said, let me die with the Philistine. It took that for him to take out more than he did before. But see, Samson even had to see that for himself because, see, he had other things blocking that lust, these other things that was blocking his vision. So he got his physical eyes pulled out of himself. You see, that's when that him committing adultery stopped. You see, he started to see things for what it really was. Because the physical, that's what he's saying, the eyes come out. Eyes represent judgment. So notice that it tells you don't be double-minded. You know, see, be single-minded. Don't be double-minded. That's why Jesus said that if your eye was going to sin, cast it out. Now notice that when you cast one out, you got only one eye left. So that means there's only one way to judge. There's only one judgment. There's only one way to judge. And say, don't be double-minded. Mind, the reason why the mind is where we do the judging, where we do the, this is why we produce the judgment that comes from the spirit when God gives us to the revelation. It produced through the mind. The mind is all about judgment, making judgments. Like, do I take this apple or this? The mind always by making those judgment decisions. So he was trying to tell him to singular, you know, see, don't be double-minded, be singular. You see, judge in oneness and righteousness, you see, by what you hear from God, by righteousness, to judge that way. See, don't walk around being double-minded. Be single. One eye on the prize. But see, that's a person who's going to be operating in the Spirit of God to understand that you judge by what you hear, not by what you physically see. And Samson understood that in the end. He's seen it. He's seen the picture clearly. And then he committed his desires was to, I must destroy these Philistines. I want, he had that desire, and he was willing to die for that desire. And that's why we have to have the desire, be willing to die and shed ourselves on the cross. We have to be willing to die to sacrifice ourselves for others. We got to be willing to die to fulfill the purposes of God and to send forth the kingdom of heaven from out of us, bring it out onto the earth, and send forth God's judgments all over the place and destroy and eradicate these evil spirits that's running around and running in high places and these other places, to bring them down. Now, we spoke about this yesterday, and I speak about it again. I tell people like this: if you're not a person that wants to give 10% to God, that means spiritual tithing. If you're not a person who want to do that, if you're not a person that want to be in spiritual warfare, you're not a person who want to pick up your sword and your shield and get yourself ready and let God go out before you. The battle's already his and won. You don't want to go and do this, then this teaching is not for you. If you're a person that want to go on and keep on committing adultery, you want to keep on committing adultery, you don't want to stop, this is not for you. This teaching is not for you. You have to start to see this is not for you. I looked at a guy like Jeroboam. Look at a guy like Jeroboam. God gave him 10 kingdoms, which 10 mean tithes. God gave him 10 kingdoms. And you know what he did to God for that? He committed adultery. He went and built 2 calves and caused the people all to commit adultery. See, he ended up making these calves. And when he made these calves, he seduced these people. And he ended up seducing God's bride. He seduced them. And had Israel sinning all before God, all this adultery going on, because he was afraid to lose his power and not trust God and lost his respect that he had for God when God was watching out for him when he was nothing in the cave and made him a king. But that spirit of adultery got the best of him. And he died for it and he suffered for it. He died for it. He suffered for that sort of thing. The same thing with Absalom. Absalom had the same kind of spirit as well. You see, he wanted to act like he wanted to please the people, shaking their hands. He really had no attention on really caring about the people. He just wanted the power. I mean, Absalom is the story of politics. When you see the way he actually did things, it's the way politicians do things. Shaking hands. Hey, I do this here for you. Kissing babies. Hey. Listen, if I was in place, I would do this. And kind of trash talking his father, like he's not doing enough, he's not doing something right. And that's what he wanted to do, make the people believe that, hey, I'm just like you. I'm just like you, and you just like me. And that's what he was doing in the wrong manner. There's nothing wrong with saying, Jesus saying, hey, y'all just as the master. There's nothing wrong with that. And so that's what you want. But he was doing it in the wrong nature, because his intentions was to make the people believe that. Because when you tell the people that, they're going to ordinarily say, yeah, you're right, we are. And then they're going to follow. And then he's going to get in power. And then when he's in power, he's in power. You see, and they're not going to be able to get him out. And then they're going to see his true color. Well, this is what he did. And he ended up, committing adultery with his father's wife. He was sleeping with all the concubines. He was doing all these things. And so notice he did the same thing. So he ended up getting killed. He was disinherited. He was disinherited. He was dead. He was disinherited. And this is why this is so important. This is why this is so important when we're looking at a lot of things people need to see. There's a lot of things people need to see. You see a lot of believers as born again, but they're still in the same spiritual elements, you know, in the same spiritual elements, doing the same old thing that they was doing before going back into slavery. And this happened to a church. This happened to a church that was in Galatians. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. Now I'm in the, of course, I'm in the Catholic version, the NRSV. I'm in that version on this scripture, because I want you to see something here that's a little bit different than the King James. It says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 8, it said, formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved. Now notice he said you was enslaved. I mean, you was in slavery. That means that somebody has you in slavery, or you enslaved to something. But let's see what he say what you're enslaved to. They say you were enslaved to beings, like creatures, beings. Like you say human beings, but it say no, it say beings, like spiritual beings. It say that by nature, notice that by nature are not gods. See, they're not gods, they're demons. That's what they are. That's why most of the folks was doing sacrifice to Moloch, these things. There's a lot of these spirits are actually, they are real, because they are demons and they're devils. They're spirits, but what happened is that people are worship them as gods. They ain't no gods. And they got the people worship them that because they have the spiritual component and people are trapped in the flesh. Now, is in the flesh. Now, those that say, now, however, that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and beggarly elemental spirits? How can you want to be enslaved to them again? Enslaved to them again. Now notice these people in Galatians are born again. They got the Holy Spirit and everything. But Paul said that, see, they was turning their backs on the truth. And they was going back into Egypt. You see, they was going back into slavery to be governed by the same spirits that they was rescued from. They finna go back into bondage. Notice how he said that. See, it was something governing them. It's some spiritual governing them. That, yeah, these seven evil spirits is more than those. But notice how he said that you was under the control of this. And then you want to go back into, you got deceived back into it. You committing adultery. You're going backwards. Instead of going forward with your husband, you're going backwards. Well, everybody, well, we're getting at the point we're running out of time here, but we pretty much talked about, pretty much it seemed like everything I got on my tablet. We talked about everything in the kitchen sink. So unless the Holy Spirit going to bring out more, which I'm sure, I mean, you know, that's what he's going to do, bring out more tomorrow on this issue, then we'll be working on part 4 of adultery. But if not, I think that we nailing this right here in the head in part 3. We went over so many factors we went over. We went into so many of them just in the last 3 teachings. We went over so many. It's amazing how fast we went through this, the many. We did 2 hours teaching at 12 last night. Before that, we did 1 hour 30 plus minutes, and now we had going towards 1 hour and 32, 33 minutes here. We're going somewhere around that or somewhere close to that or something like that. So we kind of pushing through the time zone. So we uncovered a lot of issues. I believe that you understand by now what adultery is in the spirit of adultery and how this thing is flooding the churches, been flooding them, and how it's keeping control, and how this thing is flooding the communities that's keeping control to entice the people into its tutelage, into what it wants. Or if not, the people rejects it, then it wants to bring down fire and brimstone on you. Stones crucify you. It want to do it all to you. It want to saw you in half, and whatever it can do, like we've seen it do to the prophets, it want to do to you. But you are a soldier of God. You are children of the Most High. You're a soldier of God. And you shall stand. And God will get you to victory every time. He will get you to victory every time. When it looks like it ain't going to happen, God's going to get you to victory. every time. For all the people that want to come out and be born again, all I ask you to do is to repent, whatever you know that you've done, to repent it out, and also pray to Jesus and ask him to have the Holy Spirit pull out all the things that you don't know that you're doing, all the insignificant things, and that's the most important thing, the insignificant things, to pull all that out of you. Because those things pile up, you know, it'd be things that are small, like we was talking earlier, things, little flirting eyes here and there, you know, a little bit here, a little piece there, a little this there, a little this here, just little small pieces here and there. And it builds up. And it builds up to now you commit adultery and you find yourself in this spirit taking a hold of you and got you trading yourself back, going backwards. You're a dog returning to his vomit. What Peter was saying, you know, Scripture also said, Old Testament, repeat back to your vomit. You don't want to do that. You've been washed clean. There's no sense to be like that woman was in Proverbs chapter 7. She said, I'm going to get back dirty. See, that's why I say that woman led to the grave. This woman led to the grave. Her bed was death itself. It was hell. And that's all she was going to bring you to. For all the people that want to come out and be partners or donate with us, you can always visit us on www.kingdomjusticeleague.com. That's www.kingdomjusticeleague.com. Or you can go to www.godelects.org. That's www.godelects.org. And we also have the description on there. And so if you want to donate, a lot of times I would tell people go to godelects.org. Because that's where everything is set up for that. Kingdom Justice, you go in there, is just going to send you to that when it comes to the donations. We also, the Kingdom Justice League web page is something new to us that we had just for like a couple months now. And I've been trying to have the time to build it up and do that. And I believe that God's going to have this time coming up after this series, where I can have this time to actually to be able to go out and do those sort of things and take care of that situation. We can put more videos and more things and update everything and have everything more in order for you and make things helpful. I also want for you to come out and email me your testimonies. And if you want to post your testimonies or some things that God is showing you, you want to show everyone. I also want to go to that level. You know, we want to hear these things. We want for others to hear this. We want them to be a blessing to everyone else, for people to talk about their experiences with God. Until tomorrow, bless and peace be to you. This is Courtney Jones, and I'm out. Hey everyone, we're going to take a